Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
All right, today we're going to be working on, part eight of our Generational Wealth Mathematics series, where we take liabilities and turn them into income, or assets, rather. We take liabilities and turn them into assets. We're on part eight today, and today's podcast is titled, Reba Needs $1 Million, and How Can We Get It? Now, we have a word problem, just like we used to get those word problems like in grade school. If Johnny had 10 apples, ate 2 apples, gave 3 away. I mean, well, we have word problems for adults that deal with generational wealth. So we got at least two of them today. One we have in our program notes. But first, to set the tone, we're going to listen to some Steve Harvey and then read the problem. Actually, we're going to present you with two problems that we're going to come up with how to solve those problems. That's the goal of today's podcast. So let's get to Steve Harvey, then we'll get to the phone lines and these problems.
I got in a huge tax situation in 2008, because my divorce was in 2005, and my accountant had gotten in cahoots, and next thing you know, my accountant died, and a girl that worked for him called my lawyer and said, we have a problem. She had found on the floor all my tax forms for 7 years, signed and with the checks stapled to them. So I'm thinking, I done signed and I done stapled the checks. Well, they were cashing the checks, keeping the money, and not turning in the tax form. They took the money out of the account that matched the exact, because I wasn't watching it.
So
like
you could just see
600,000, deducted.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's the check. Little did I know, it was some people taking the money out.
For 7 years?
For 7 years.
How much money did that?
I ended up owing $22
million. Wow.
$22 million with the penalties. So now, wow. Listen to me, man. Me and my wife in 2008, I get the call. And the way I found out was, my lawyer called me and said, hey, man, we got a problem. You haven't paid taxes in 7 years. I said, man, what are you talking about? I paid taxes. I've been writing the checks and all this here. Oh, man. He said, this woman found your taxes in your accountant's office on the floor. Every tax check I had written and every was stapled together for 7 years, quarterly taxes, all of it. So he said, man, that's tax evasion. You can go to prison. Mm-hmm. And I said, what are we going to do? So he said, hold on, man. Let me get some lawyers. So he called up some tax accountants out of Chicago. These boys was the best. And they set me down and they said, man, we got a major problem. He said, I got a friend working at the IRS. Let me take the first year. We took the first year and we sent it in. And he said, man, well, this is an old tax return. He said, man, we got a problem. He got more, but he didn't know it. And so we need a tax payment plan. So the tax payment plan was so astronomical that it was no way I could pay this. So the deal was if you miss one payment, we come and seize all your assets and you go into jail. That was the deal. So the way I found out I was in real bad trouble was my accountants, my former manager, lawyer, got on a conference call to discuss it. But they sent out an email with the conference call number to my assistant. But it wasn't supposed to go to me. She inadvertently gave it to me. I wasn't even supposed to be on the call. So when I logged in, they were already talking, and I just didn't announce myself. And I heard them say, nobody can live under this amount of stress. There's no way he can pay the back taxes, pay his current taxes, and his living expenses. And I heard a guy on the phone say, what are we going to do when he goes to jail? And I hung the phone up. I went upstairs. I said, Marjorie, I said, Marjorie, we got a problem. When I explained it to her, Marjorie started crying. She sat down and cried. My wife cried for 2 straight days. She said, Steve, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to work. I took every comedy gig in this country. I signed every contract. I went to work, man. I worked every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I went to every venue, the Verizon, Staples Center, MCI, Phillips. I sold out the Fox. I went everywhere. I stayed on the radio, man. I'm coming, sold out. I never missed a payment. And for 4 years in a row, I was sending $650,000 a month to the government, plus I had to pay my current taxes.
New taxes.
I couldn't get behind on nothing. And I was living. So I was credit cards, running them up, paying them off. And finally, man, in 2012, I sold 49% of my radio company to iHeart. Mm. I got a check, man. I got me a check. And then, so I paid the government completely off to zero. And that was the first time, man, I could breathe. And then the pay-per-view, I said, let me get out of stand-up because my wife said, Steve, you finna be a major TV star. You're going to have to stop telling the jokes you're telling because you're going to ruin your career. Because she saw the political correctness turning. And so she said, Steve, you can stop if you want to. I said, baby, I can't ever stop telling jokes. It's who I am. She said, well, okay, but you got to watch what you say. And all of my TV shows are sponsor-driven. The radio is sponsorship-driven. I said, man, let me get out of this because I need time to go do more TV. And so I did one last comedy show, but I did it on pay-per-view. And little did I know, for $8, you could watch my last show. I had no idea how many people was going to tune in for that. I made a lot of money. It was the biggest single paycheck I ever made. And next thing you know, I was back.
Okay, we're working on generational wealth mathematics today. We're on part 8, and today's podcast is titled Reba Needs $1 Million, and we're going to use generational wealth mathematics to get us there. Now, before we play, we got another motivational piece before we get into this in the phone lines. And in our program notes right here on Blog Talk Radio, I have problem one. We're going to be working on two problems today. All right. Problem one is in the program notes here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to read that to you now because we have a second problem that we're going to be framed, that we're going to frame based on problem number one. So here's problem number one. Once again, this is in our program notes right here on Blog Talk Radio, and I think I posted a variant of it on our Facebook page, which is BIY Shacks. All right, problem one. Reba needs $1 million within 20 hours. Reba is a Spanish teacher and has a side hustle of teaching people how to build their own $10,000 house. Using e-commerce, how can Reba get the money that she needs within 20 hours without borrowing any money or going to the government? That's problem number one. I'll read that again. Okay. And the name of this problem is Reba Needs $1 Million. Once again, problem number one, which is in our program notes right here on Blog Talk Radio, or you can go to our Facebook page, BIY Shacks, on Facebook. Problem number one is Reba, and this is real people. We actually have to read this and then turn it into real money. All right, problem number one, Reba needs $1 million within 20 hours. Reba is a Spanish teacher, and she has a side hustle of teaching people how to build their own $10,000 house. Using e-commerce, how can Reba get the money that she needs within 20 hours without borrowing any money or going to the government? That's question number one. Now, question number two. I don't have this online, but listen to what I'm saying. It mirrors very closely to what I just said. All right. Problem number two, Reba needs $5,000 within 20 hours. Reba is a Spanish teacher, and as a side hustle, she teaches people how to build their own tiny house. Using e-commerce, how can Reba get the $5,000 that she needs within 20 hours? Those are two generational wealth questions for today. We're going to play a little bit more Steve Harvey and go over the phone lines because you people out in the audience will solve these two problems today. And then we're going to take what you say, because you got to show your work. We're going to take your work and then put it in action and actually manifest real dollars down to the penny of those two figures that I just gave out. So we'll be back in 5 minutes.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit, and it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Okay, today we're working on two mathematic problems, and I've got a coined term here, generational wealth mathematics. That's what we're talking about. Now, as I stated earlier, you know, when we were coming up in grade school, you know, we had these math problems, you know, of Susie had 10 apples and ate three of them and lost one and gave two away. How many would she have left? Well, I've updated that to real-life problems that adults have. So that's we got two that we're going to present today. Now, I had to lay some fundamentals out before we get open up the phone lines and everything, but fundamentals of mathematics that we'll be using. Math fundamentals, which will be easy for anybody to pick up, dealing with some basic formulas that everybody can pick up. And I'm going to read the problems out right now because we're going to be dealing with two. All right. And then we're going to give you some background info for you to listen to, and then we're going to come to you with the open phone lines because, for instance, I sent this out to some people, you know, how do you earn $1 million in a matter of hours? And the quick response I got back from one person was, how do you do it? I don't know. Well, it's a lot easier than if you would just think about it. All right. So here's the first question, and we're going to go through, get the mind shift here. Problem number one, and once again, this is under the umbrella of generational wealth mathematics. Problem number one, Reba needs $1 million within 20 hours. Reba is a Spanish teacher and has a side hustle of teaching people how to build their own $10,000 house. Using e-commerce, how can Reba get the money that she needs within 20 hours without borrowing any money or going to the government? That's question number one. That's problem number one, generational wealth problem number one. Generational wealth problem number two reads practically the same way, except there's just a change in the figures. I'll read problem number two. And we're going to work on problem number two first. All right. Problem number two is Reba needs $5,000. And she needs it in 20 hours. Reba is a Spanish teacher, and she has a side hustle of teaching people how to build their own $10,000 house, along with giving Spanish lessons. Using e-commerce, how can Reba get the $5,000 that she needs within 20 hours without borrowing any money from anybody or going to the government? All right, now, before we go to the phone lines and I play this next short audio, if you can solve the $5,000 part of this, you got the $1 million licked. Because if you take $5,000 and whatever you did, whatever we're going to work out that Reba can get this $5,000, if you do that same thing 200 more times or get some friends of yours to help you do it 200 more times, you'll have the $1 million. So when I come back from this short two-minute break, we're going to open up the phone lines, and then we're going to figure out a way that Reba can get this. This is a real problem. This is a real-life mathematical generational wealth math problem. We're going to figure that out because, once again, once we figure that out, all we need to do is repeat that 200 more times we got the million. This is for real stuff. So this is a class. We'll be back in 1 minute, 6 seconds.
Look out.
Did you know there are 293 ways to make change for a dollar? It's true. Let me show you how. There's 100 pennies, 95 pennies and a nickel, 90 pennies and 2 nickels, 85 pennies and 3 nickels, 80 pennies and 4 nickels, 75 pennies and 5 nickels, 70 pennies and 6 nickels, 65 pennies and 7 nickels, 60 pennies and 8 nickels, 55 pennies and 9 nickels, 50 pennies and 10 nickels, 45 pennies and 11 nickels, 40 pennies and 12 nickels, 35 pennies and 13 nickels, 30 pennies and 14 nickels, 25 pennies and 15 nickels, 20 pennies and 16 nickels, 15 pennies and 17 nickels, 10 pennies and 18 nickels, 5 pennies and 19 nickels, 20 nickels, 19, wait.
Okay. That's the clues, my man. So now, by reading the question, read the problem again. And what you just heard, we call that 293. There are 293 ways to make change for $4. And the fundamentals that you have there is you have pennies. You use a combination of pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, and 50-cent pieces. Between those five fundamental elements of a dollar, or divisions of a dollar, there are 293 combinations. That same principle applies anywhere in the universe. Now, going back to our problem that we're going to work, we got two math problems. We're going to work on the second one first, which is Reaver needs $5,000. That's the second problem. I'll read it again. Reba needs $5,000, and she needs it within 20 hours. Reba is a Spanish teacher and has a side hustle of help teaching people how to build their own $10,000 tiny house and give Spanish lessons. Using e-commerce, how can Reba get the money that she needs, which is $5,000, within 20 hours without borrowing any money or going to the government? Everything you need is right to solve that problem is right within what I just read. The bonus is the 293 ways in which you can come up with combinations on how to change $1. Because if you can do that, you can get any amount of money that you want. Now, I'll give you another formula, 781. If you get seven people, doesn't have to be seven, but if you can organize seven people within 8 hours, you can build one $10,000 house, or if you organize seven people within 8 to 10 hours, what can they build or make that will generate the $10,000 that you need? $5,000 that Reba needs. So 619-768-2945. It's only limited to your imagination, but everything that you need to solve this problem, we'll start with 5,000. Because if you can figure out 5,000 within 10 hours, then you just do the same thing 200 more times to get the million. So this is a real problem. Dealing with real people, so let's get to it. 773, I got to open up my mic first. 773, your mic is open. And anybody, just put it out there. We're thinking open because some of you out, you might, if you don't need, if you don't, you know, oh, and you can't get a second, the third job is not going to help. So anyway, 773, your mic is open. 773. All right.
Well, Grand Rising. I do apologize. So I like to mute the background noise out. Yes. How are you doing today? Right. Well, I'm doing good. So what are we asking me? So you said that $1 million. No, I got the scenario.
That's problem number one. So. Because we got two problems. Second problem
is hypothetical, but I like you speaking that into my life. How can I raise $1 million?
Here's the one that isn't hypothetical, $5,000. And I'll read it.
Yes.
Let me read it as the second problem. Reba needs $5,000, and she needs it within 20 hours. Reba is a Spanish teacher and has a side hustle of teaching people how to build their own $10,000 house. Using e-commerce, how can Reba get the $5,000 that she needs within 20 hours without borrowing any money or going to the government? You got a project right now that you need $5,000 for. That's a real project. So let's start with that. Explain to people what this $5,000 is needed for.
Well, we are building this summer. So currently I'm running an after-school program at the Grand Ballroom Chicago. It's the first ever Fine Performing Arts Academy held at the Grand Ballroom. So the location is 6351 South Cottage Grove on Mondays and Wednesdays. So we want to also teach these children, in addition to helping with homework, and other instructors will bring the Fine Performing Arts, other components. I will work with them on vocals, as well as my uncle, Mike Alexander Sr. He mentioned that he may want to do something. I've spoken with the awesome Javon Watson from Javon Watson Experience. So I have a math teacher who actually teaches at Urban Prep Academy, Bronzeville. So we have professionals that will be coming in with us. I also have spoken with Auntie from Power 92. So we want to take the children further and empower them. So we're teaching entrepreneurship through the arts. So they're going to actually have lessons, actual lessons. After homework's done, they're going to go into some activities where they learn some modeling techniques and vocal techniques and things like that, depending on what they want to do. In addition to that, of course, they're going to have the Spanish, because Reba La Maestra is certainly going to make sure these babies get the Spanish, as well as English literacy. So I've been wanting to do this project to build a tiny mobile solar cabin. So we came up with that term a couple of years ago. So I've been struggling to get consistency with my team. So I'm restructuring my team, and God has given me the courage. I now have the courage to delegate the way that I need to. And actually those that are not moving, like I had someone who was going to meet us at the Grand Ballroom to promote, well, she didn't show up. So someone else had to take that space. So delegate, and with this team, we can do it. Because I actually recall when we were doing the Mad Brother LA, the 7 people within 8 hours, you actually helped to break down the timing that was, because you've done the build these tiny solar mobile cabins before. And this will be my first one. So we need the funds for the materials, which would cost around $2,000 for the materials. $500 would be for stipends for the young people, because we want them to know that when they use their skills, when they use their talents, and they're dedicated, they actually can earn. I always have a slogan. I have a slogan that I always share that says, grades get you paid. So don't just think of grades out there in radio land. Don't think of grades just as something that you get in school or on a job, you know, your pay grade or whatever. However, you are graded. People are, critically judging you. You actually are having to consider how you market yourself, even when you go to the store. Some people get turned away even when they bring money, depending on how they present themselves. So keep in mind, if someone's coming in and they're disturbing other customers, they may actually exclude that one person who even has money to spend. So keep in mind, grades get you paid is one of my slogans, and these young people will get paid based on their performance in the after school programs, their dedication, because that'll give me an indication that they'll be consistent. Now, the others that don't actually, because we're going to have two teams. So the $2,500, the $2,000 for the materials, and the $500 for the stipends. We're going to do two. So we're going to have two teams of seven. And so that's where the $5,000 comes from. Additional donations, if people want to donate things like snacks and drinks for the summer, that is welcome as well. We're at the location of the current after-school program is at the Grand Ballroom Chicago. It's a Black-owned establishment at 6351 South Carter's Grove. And you would dial 773-449-8839. Again, 773-449-8839. And the name of the academy is Bronzeville Leadership Academic Center, and it stems from the Black Youth Metropolis Enterprise for Entrepreneurship, teaching entrepreneurship through the arts. So thank you for letting me share that. There's a lot. I have like a lot of ideas, and I realized that even with this Fighting for My Arts program, Academy of Brother LA, I cannot do everything myself. So I want the children to learn acting. I've had some experience in like little skits and things like that growing up. So it was really great what my aunt, we called her Dee Dee. She's Aunt Dee Dee. Darlene Drew, actually, she is now a speaker for, she's a retired prison warden. And she is currently a speaker with the John Maxwell team. And she has her own podcast and trainings as well. So she had us doing skits and in a choir and things like that. And my uncles, they worked with me on singing, not just me, but my siblings. I kind of just focused a little bit more on what I was being taught. I just kind of took it and ran with it. We all had to be in a choir. It was just something, you know, you just did what you were told back in the day. But the modeling, you know, we had positive role models to mimic. My aunt also modeled. My mother was a seamstress. She made a lot of my mother's clothes. So just we want young people to come out. The young people also, even currently on Mondays and Wednesdays, they have vendor opportunity. If you have young people who have a product and they want to set up a table, so they would just need to call that same number, 773-449-8839. So, Brother LA, did I leave anything out? Do you have any insight on what I've shared?
Well, all right, let's take, all right, you need the $5,000, and then you've put out some information that, let's try to hone this in. All right, now, what are the ages? All right, first thing, people, Reba does have a campaign online now, GoFundMe. Give us the information on the GoFundMe and tell us about the video that you have that's attached to that.
Well, interestingly enough, it was actually that a student, some young people from Freedom Home Academy here in Chicago, located here in Chicago, and I was full-time teaching there, and so the students, they wanted to do an activity building, making slime. So I actually allowed them, once their work was done, we did different arts and crafts, or they got to color, whatever they wanted to do. So that particular day that you see in the video on the GoFundMe page on Facebook, they were actually making slime. So since they were my Spanish scholars, I told them that in order to make the slime, you have to use your Spanish when you're giving instruction. And these young people, some of them have graduated already in high school. However, I was learning a lot from them too, not only how to make slime and things like that, but these young people, they'll even, let's say, you know, I'm teaching and I get tongue-tied or I skip something. Like, well, Mama Reba, because over in the Freedom Home Academy, it's an Afrocentric setting. And so they, Mama Reba, you forgot to put the, maybe the tilde or something like that. You know, I'm writing fast or whatever. So they are very watchful over there, and I'm looking at just reengaging with those students. So there were just a group of students who were there later than the others, and they wanted to do some activities making slime. So you were here in the video, some of the students using Spanish. It's really just a video clip, so I can actually find and upload the longer video, but that was really exciting to have them do that. So that was like...
Well, now, what are the ages of the children?
They were...
What are the ages of the kids?
They were like between 7 and 11. And one of the young people,
Okay.
her dad is Brother Joshua. He's an entrepreneur here in Chicago too. Direct wholesale to you is his business.
All right. Well, they're old enough because I've played some audio. I'm not going to play it today. Of Lauren Nelson out of Attica, New York. When Lauren was like 10 or 11 years old, she bought a rat infested or mice infested trailer or camper up in Attica, New York, with some money that she had saved up from babysitting or what have you. She bought it for $800, well, $400 for the camper. She spent another $400 getting it fixed up with the help of her mother and grandfather and sister and something like that. And then she can probably sell that thing for $10,000-$15,000. But, you know, it's her playhouse. That's at 11. She might be 12 or 13 at the oldest right now. So here's what I'm thinking. Number one, as you know, I mentioned a couple of hours ago to you. Now, you've got a GoFundMe campaign going right now, but I'm going to suggest, not anybody out there, if you got any suggestions, 619-768-2945, but look at her video first. I'm going to suggest have the children that are involved with the program right now, have them make videos asking for what they need. That's just one video. And have another video of them actually building what they're going to build, you know, and whatnot. And then have a video with this. So that's two additional videos. Now, the third video, now this all helps raise this $5,000 within a 10-hour period of time. And this is a tested method of getting not only $5,000, but a whole lot more than that. One of our regular supporters here, Connie Beasley, shared with me either earlier this year or late last year, it's less than a year ago, of a community college in North Carolina. And this community college, what they have been doing is time tested. What they do in their, agriculture department or building trades department, it's at a community college, is they have the students work on, in their latest incarnation, three projects. The students, now these are community school colleges, old school people call it junior college. These community college kids, they built they built a shed. They built a tiny house, and they built a regular size house. That's, you know, they learn the ins and outs with the theory, as well as the hands-on experience, and actually building, once again, a shed from scratch, a tiny house from scratch, and a regular house from scratch. And then after they built them, they put the houses online and sell them. They make enough money off of those items, and at the start they were just doing one or two places. They make enough money off of those projects that it finances that department of that particular junior college that takes care of the materials, the lights, and the salaries of the employees of that particular department at that particular community college. And if there's any overspill from that, I imagine it goes to the general fund of that particular community college. And I spoke to the professor of that junior college that runs that program. So they've been doing it for some years now. And thank you, Brother Beasley, for making me aware of that. So I'm saying this. I'm suggesting this. Because all we're doing here is we're thinking out loud. Is There's no sense of reinventing the wheel. Do the same thing with those kids that you got. A real simple project for them to do. Now, let's tweak it. Now, I'm not saying them for to tackle a house right now, but they can tackle a dollhouse, a doghouse, and maybe a shed. They don't need all three, but maybe a, something that they would probably buy, and let them discuss it. You know, what would they want their parents to buy or whatever? So I'm suggesting that, and then make videos, because it's one thing for Reba, the adults, to talk about it, to pitch for and to advocate for them, but it takes on a whole new economic development if they make the pitch to the grown folks.
Well, that, okay. Brother L.A., that's the reason that I posted the video, because.
Right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I'm listening.
That was idea to do that. And they said, well, Mama Reba, if we could do it, if we could actually speak about it in Spanish, that's how amazing those young people are, because they're older now. They were like, so what if we do it in Spanish, the one with the locks that you see in the video. He said, what if we do it in Spanish? Because my focus was to make sure that they got those their activities done, which they were pretty expedient, you know, but they really, really enjoyed that. And so that was a product that they could sell. I've always been focused on entrepreneurship. One young lady also write out her. Go ahead.
All right, so now the video that at least the one, I can hear you. The video that I saw, give us the GoFundMe link, and then also if you can post it on our Facebook page, which is BIY Shacks, post it on there so people can see it. The GoFundMe, where do we go on GoFundMe to find this particular campaign?
Okay, so it's going to be support. Lady Reba, Youth Empowerment Mission.
All right, that's
so
on GoFundMe.
Search, you can actually search on, so that's how you do it. But Facebook is one way to find it as well. But you can search on GoFundMe. Just like on Eventbrite, you can search an event. We also have a link that I could share via text at 773-449-8839. If you're interested in the Spanish, you'll text Spanish. But certainly the GoFundMe, donors actually have access to sit in on a class with the adults. So actually today, this evening, I'm going to be registering adults to actually help raise funds for the after-school program. But that campaign that's on Facebook, the GoFundMe, you have to use the funds for its purpose. So those funds will go specifically for, and that's with any organization, because I train not-for-profit groups to board of silver directors. When you raise funds, you have to use the funds. Your integrity will have you to use the funds for what you're raising the funds for. And then, of course, when you do your audit, you'll show your books. This is what you spent the money on, the materials, the salaries, and so forth. So as I write grants, I actually let people know how you would write your own grant. So when I do a grant for someone, that's one thing. So now the reason why I'm not doing any grants at the moment is because we have a sense of urgency. And I was in the classroom. So some of you guys, some of our listeners know, Brother L.A., we talked about the fact that I've been away for a little while. I was full-time in the classroom, so bringing homework home. And, of course, during the podcast hour, I was leading instruction to my students. So certainly we have other areas where people can support. But you're going to go to support Lady Reba Youth Empowerment Mission.
On GoFundMe, right?
GoFundMe, yes.
All right. Now, for people that want to be the check, you can send it to them by check. They have to text you first, though. So what number do they need to text you at in order for you to text them back the link? The link.
Okay, so they're going to text 773, the same number, 773-449-8839. And they can text Tiny Mobile Solar Cabin or Tiny Cabin for the Spanish, or if they want both, because I am reconstructing my online school. We're building creating a digital version of myself, an AI version. So that's another conversation. But we do have online instruction as well. And then I do have live video of myself teaching. So you can certainly be prepared to take, if you like to take that. It'll be password protected, so you'd only have access to it.
All right. Now, have they included merchandising like T-shirts, baseball hats, hoodies, and all that for this as well? Is another way to raise money for this?
Well, the one item that we do have, and I did show, if you are do go to the link, you'll see at the bottom of the link the Little Johnny Student Workbook. It's a conflict avoidance, a resolution, life skills, and literacy manual by Little Johnny Ministries. The Little Johnny Student Workbook, it actually has 22 different lessons that youth in inner city can relate to. And it teaches everything from, like, how to write a soliloquy, how to write a letter of advocacy to your alderman or community leader, just a wealth of information in that workbook. And it's the size of an art book, art notebook, what do you call it, art portfolio. So because they do have art projects and so forth that will go into the in between the pages. It's called Little Johnny Student Workbook. That's one of our fundraising items that will be on our e-commerce. And the e-commerce is Black Youth Metropolis. And I'll share that. I'll consider a link to that as well. So we have Samara. She has a product. So when I actually support young people with their products, I just promote their products because they're using their own funds. But if they need to get started, I do have whipped shea butter. But Samara has some amazing whipped shea butter, scented whipped shea butter that I bought. It's like 2 ounce for like, it was like $12. Was it two? No, I apologize. Like 4 ounces for like $12. I'm just running out. So like I got to get some more. So certainly I want to work with the young people on their prices based on them being able to sell the product at a price and make a profit, but then also give their specials. For one, like the if I bought two, maybe she would give me two for 20. Or, you know, so you want to do specials and just make sure that you actually are making a profit, but and then reinvesting a portion of the profit. So when my young people, I have the whipped shea butter, I have oils. When they set up a table, they only get 50% because the other 50% has to go to replacing the products. And then with their 50% that they earn, they actually are going to get business cards. So I have a way for them to get business cards for like $20. So let's say they made $100 off of their table. The first thing that they are asked to do is to go ahead and get their business cards to promote more business. For them, a sign of no business, a business with no sign, Tony Blair, one of our sponsors, says, a business with no sign is a sign of no business. So I have that sponsor in place and others, even 6 Days Printing on 75th and Vernon. They're a new sponsor. And so I'm just really excited that people are stepping up to support. Michael Alexander Sr., he is a master stepper, as I call him, and he's a singer as well. He's one of my uncles who was working with me on my vocals growing up. He donated a couple of $100 to the effort for our after-school program, a fundraiser, too. We're going to have a fundraising event, so I'll announce that soon. So, yeah, I'm excited because with your support, I appreciate your insight and your tips because that's, yeah, that I was just pretty much the reason that I put the children there is because that's an action. You and I always talk about, like, we're going to start doing our podcast. We're going to start filming again because people want to see live action. They get engaged with this podcast, but we also want to just let them see us again as we were doing once before. We had the Facebook, the StreamYard, and the YouTube live going all at once. So that was pretty cool.
Well, here we get these kids organized, because the thing with, because once you put it out there on through like a YouTube Live or Facebook Live, we'll put it this way: if you had a, let's go back to the community college that basically told us about North Carolina. All right, now the students built a tiny house, well, shared a tiny house and a regular size house. After they built those, they run an auction, and they always sell out. All right. I'm saying there's no sense in reinventing the wheel. That these kids, now they don't have to build a regular size house, but they could build doll houses, sheds.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for the little bit older kids, they can participate in building the tiny house, and just put it up online for sale. You can do it through Facebook Live. You can actually do live stream sessions of the kids actually building or learning
how to
build.
I do like that idea because we used to make dollhouse. Right. Yeah, my sister and I were doing that. Because we hadn't had our Barbie doll house yet. So my dad was a carpenter, remember?
Mm-hmm.
So three area tradesmen, carpenter, licensed journeyman, plumber, and electrician. So he was always giving us ideas to make our own stuff, including like the Gloria Vanderbilt pants with the, you know, and Vidal Sassoon. He was like, your mother's a seamstress. I'm going to get your mother a sewing machine and you can write your own name on your jeans. My dad was adamant about, you know, keeping money in the family. So we would take popsicle sticks, and I would certainly like to set up to do. Justin just stopped by the Grand Ballroom yesterday. Well, actually, I gave him a card. His mom called, so hopefully she'll stop through today. But he'll be with us on tomorrow. He's 17, so the older youth will be able to help us to do a scaled mini version of our, according to what you just given me. The insight to do a scaled version, mini version of the tiny mobile solar cabin that the older ones will do. So the younger ones that are 10 years and under will 7 years old and up, they can actually work on of course we'll have adult supervision. The parents will be present because this is what I like about what you shared. First of all, we do have a focus on single mothers and children to build the tiny, to learn to build their own home, like the HUD programs with the Habitat for Humanity, not HUD, Habitat for Humanity, where they would take part in building their own home. The carpenters and so forth that will be present will also be communicating with the parents as well. Not so much as to be have sidebar conversations, but the children will actually, be there taking notes, attentively taking notes and learning the process as well. And so if they'd like to build their own, what we came up with the marketing plan was that if they wanted to build their own, then they would actually, you know, invest, you know, with having us to build it, and they just buy it, you know, but they would actually help to take part in building at one point. So.
Let me tell you why this, and this is why we call this generational wealth mathematics, because if these children that are, what are ages again, Reba?
So the after school program, these children are ages 5 to 15. 5 to 15. But the 16 to 17 year olds, because I have one 17-year-old, and I'm going to take another 16- or 17-year-old. The 18-year-olds and up, they'll actually be working in the Grand Ballroom, and they'll be the tutors and things like that. So the peer leaders would be the 16- or 17-year-olds. So 18, they're adults. So I'm going to take them on.
But they go as young
five,
as... They go as young as... They go as young as... All right, see, yeah. The reason why this program and others like it is important because if these children... as young as five, or up to 15 or 16, if they don't get this type of education exposure now, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. And I'm not even a psychic. Because we're talking about, this is up in the Chicago, Illinois area, Chicagoland area. And if you've been keeping up with the news lately in that neck of the woods, I believe the city council or something awarded, I don't know, $50 million or $70 million.
I saw 40. Yeah.
In aid. Now, a lot of the people, a lot of the immigrants or migrants are entrepreneurs.
Certainly, yeah.
They're into the free enterprise system, and that's why they're here in the United States for the free enterprise system. Now,
yeah.
Of course, getting this money from the government, you can say that's socialism, but that's a whole other podcast. But around the breakfast table, what time is it? It was almost lunchtime here. Around the breakfast table or brunch table or lunch table, around mealtime, they're five-year-olds. Okay. They're hearing mom and dad and grandpa talk about buying this house, starting this business. Let's look, because we one of our math problems here is raising $5,000, earning $5,000, not without borrowing any money and without going to the government, $5,000 within 10 hours. All right. The I got to think of the Tan family. Okay.
Oh,
Chinese, because they got Chinese migrants over here too, up in Chicago. That when they get their cut of the money, they're 40 or 50 million, when they get their cut of that, their family business is they're going to start a liquor store in the hood. Matter of fact, I was told, I think it's Delmar. They, just like they have Mary Kay meetings, opportunity meetings, and Amway meetings, somewhere in China, Mexico, Taiwan, Vietnam, whatever, they have opportunities on if you can go to this particular neighborhood or this particular region, and if you open up a liquor store, you can make $5,000 a day or even $5,000 during certain hours a day selling alcohol or fried chicken or fried rice. They have these discussions around the breakfast table. This morning, some five-year-old, because we're in, April now, some five-year-old has heard for the first 5 years of their life how to earn $5,000 a day in a black neighborhood. Yet, you got people that go to these town hall meetings that their only threat is, well, we're going to make a recall. So what Reba's doing is with this after-school program is basically exposing children in a practical way. Okay, we're not talking about reading a book, memorizing it, and then spitting it back out, and then hopefully you'll get an A and a star. No. We're talking about act just like the community college in North Carolina that Beasley was telling us about. We're talking about actually teaching them how to actually start a business, actually make something, or actually assemble something and sell it to fund the project. Because if these kids don't learn how to do this by 5 to 18, 16, whatever ages they are, by the time they reach adult, see, 5-year-olds in a lot of these communities, Asian communities or Latino communities, they're learning how to solve adult problems at 5. 21, 31, 51, and 71, that's too late to worry worrying about how to solve, how I'm going to fix the roof, which is a $25,000 adult problem. They learn how to solve this shit at 5.
Right.
So that's what her program's all about. So
thank you.
You got all the raw elements there, Reba, and for the people that are coming late, we're talking about generational wealth mathematics, and we got two now, because once again, this and I'll read the second problem. Where and word problem frame. Reba needs $5,000 within 20 hours. Reba is a Spanish teacher, and she has a side hustle of teaching young children how to earn $5,000 in that amount of time. Using e-commerce, how can Reba and the children with the school program get the $5,000 within 20? See, after they figure that out, we got all the raw material there, and then we just have to reduce it down to writing and then open it up to people that want to participate. Once these kids learn how to make $5,000 within 10 hours, then to make the $1 million, which is the first problem, all they need to do is repeat that same process 200 more times. Now, let me give you a visual on that one. Audio, rather, because we got to set it up, because people need to see this stuff in action. Is just like Beasy was talking about the community college where these kids, college kids, but 5 to 15 or 16-year-olds can do the exact same thing. They can build dog houses. They can build doll houses. They can build sheds. They can help build tiny houses, which is a glorified shed. They can build those, and they can show the building process through live streams. During the same process, they can sell them during a live stream. And instead of doing one location, they can do as many locations as they want. Because if they just do, because one's pretty simple. So you just, if you want to do 5 live streams that week, one a day, they can raise $25,000 in 5 days. There are people on YouTube that do that. So essentially, this is a real life problem with real people that can learn this right now. Like I say, she's in Chicago. We like to do a Florida version of that as well. 619-768-2945. If people have many ideas on this, but she's got a GoFundMe account set up on that, and there'll be more videos for that as well. She'll let us know when that's up. We're on part 8, so tomorrow we'll go on part 9 till we get to the live stream part, so you can actually see this stuff coming into fruition. And then if you have any what we call real-life math problems, generational wealth problems, let us know, and then we'll frame it up as a word problem and then work it out in real time with real dollars. 347, your mic is open.
Hello, everybody. This is Daryl. L.A., I sent you my carpenter book, a book when I was in the carpentry school. We built you could call it a shack or a tiny house. We built that, laid it, laying down like the foundation, putting up the walls, putting up the sheetrocks, cutting, the frame for the doors, the windows, for the electrical outlets. Things that we did that's not in the book, as far as how we cut the outlets. We used sort of like a drill, like a drill to make the hole. So what we did, the electrical box, we just kind of traced the electrical box on the sheetrock, and we used a drill that makes a hole, and that's how we cut out the hole for the so the electrical box could fit in. Because, see, what they would normally do would use a little saw. That's how it was normally did in the old way. But, modern times, you get, people get crafty, and they do it with a drill like that, They just poke the hole in the wall and just go around the box with a drill. Then we lay down tiles. We put up drop ceilings. So that's how we did it. And then we did like it was another class that I did it, and it was like a union called 32BJ. I think it was called Thomas Shorts, something like that. This is in New York City. And then I did a
all right, Daryl, hold on a minute. Let me get this idea out here. Thanks for the copy of the book. Here's the idea that I just came up with. We need to do a conference call, or we'll bring her on here. Beata Robinson, who drops in here on occasion, Beata's actually written and published at least two books that I know of, if not three. And I think what we need to have a conversation with you, her, Reba, because these kids can come up with their own book on what they're doing in order to raise this $5,000. And then once it's put in the book form, that can be put up on, Amazon?
Yes.
As an income stream generator for future students, the book proceeds could be sold to help the kids out in the future, which is sort of what the junior college is doing. I don't know if the junior college in North Carolina, I don't know if they have a component book to that. But this could go along with what the kids are doing. Those kids, I mean, hey, we all written book reports, and book reports are the precursor to e-books. So I think I wrote my first book report when I was 8 years old, third grade. So these kids can do the same thing with this particular project or projects. They can reduce things down to writing, and then somebody like Viata can help them craft it into a real book, which they can put up on Amazon, and then that's something that's intellectual property that can bring in an income that can help bankroll future projects. You know, they might need, stuff and materials or what have you, or snacks or something like that. So, Daryl, thank you for bringing that up. Anyway, continue, Daryl.
Yeah.
I just had to get that before I forgot.
So this is what the numbers I had before, because it was one thing that was presented to us was like $1 million in 24 hours. Then the next thing was presented to us $1 million in 20 hours. So if you do $1 million in 24 hours, that will be $41,666 and 60, like at the very end it's 666666. Okay, and then going from $1 million in 20 hours, that would be $50,000. And then 5,000 in 20 hours, that would be $255. So I have the 24-hour version of $1 million and $5,000, and I have the 20-hour version of $1 million and $5,000. So this is how it will be. But it's numerous ways to set it up that you could set things up and it take off from there. Like you can do dollar apps. You can get like it depends how big is how can I say this? The one out there, how much people want to learn English that Reba's teaching, or how much people want to learn Spanish. It's a lot of people that's going to other places because of inflation. So they will want to learn Spanish, but I would give it like this. I would say learn Spanish very easy, like maybe a dollar app. Learn Spanish for like 10 minutes, and it's a dollar for 10 minutes. Imagine how much people that will reach. She took them about the vowels that we spoke about, like I think it was yesterday we talked about A, E, I, O, U, speak about the vowels,
right.
How many ways you pronounce A. And do it like that, or you do slides. You know how they have like a cheat sheet.
Right.
So when it comes to like the building foundations, you like lay the foundation, and then you show them, okay, what type of material to make risers, or what's the next step to do a window frame or a door frame. You just don't give the whole book. You just do like step by step, from going from like floor, walls to ceiling. So each of that. So if you have floors. that would be like a $1 T-sheet. And then you have laying down towels, that'd be $1 T-sheet. Then you have framing, $1 T-sheet. Then you have sheetrock, $1 T-sheet. Cutting out the windows, $1 T-sheet. And then cutting out the doors,
$1 T-sheet. So what you're talking about is that's actually called upselling. So that's awesome. You are amazing. Yeah. And we see that with webinars all the time. You click on something and like, well, you can get this for free. You know, you can get this bonus just for $2, you know, for $7.99 more. So I'm really, really excited that you shared that, because a lot of times we see things on TV, internet. We don't necessarily picture us doing that. But I know that God has positioned me in this time and space and place to do what it is that I'm capable of doing. I've always been capable, but there's a time and season for everything. So thank you so much for sharing.
Okay.
You're welcome.
All right, hold on, Daryl, hold on a minute. I've asked Beata Robinson to call in. Now, an idea that we just came up with, and thanks to Daryl, is to help raise for these children in this after-school program to raise money is organize a book. So, Viad, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, thanks for calling, because I called you on the fly. Yeah.
Hi, thank
you. Viad, there's some, Reba's working with some children in Chicago, and, you know, teaching them how to be entrepreneurs and, you know, build things, manufacture things of that nature. And Daryl out of New York came up with the shared with us something when he was coming up, a book that they use that taught them about carpentry. And then I thought, well, why don't these kids put together their own book from their experiences so this book written by kids or to be written by these children ages 5 to 16, they can, you know, put it up, but I don't know anything about writing. But you've written, what, 3 books?
Yes, I have.
The other? All right, so I was calling you to ask you, what about the idea of teaching children how to write, write and organize, and I guess self-publish their own books on how to build a doghouse or whatever they're building, whatever Reba's doing with them in Chicago. So that's why I was calling you, because you've actually written and published books.
Yeah, and I had a lot of help with Asada Kirkland. I don't know if Reba knows her. I think Reba is the Spanish instructor.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Hi, Reba.
Hi, thank you for calling in.
My pleasure. And I'm on the Female Solution Blog Talk platform with Asada Kirkland.
Okay, yeah.
And Asada is the Soulful Chicago Book Fair coordinator and owner. So she does a lot of that work with kids, and I think that's a great idea, because that's what we need. We need to educate kids on building houses and carpentry and all that. So, yeah. If you're in Chicago, she would be a perfect resource for you to help get that off the ground. And if she's not already doing that, I think she is already working with kids, but she's one person in Chicago who's very much into books and writing and especially promoting it for kids to write their own books.
Yes, I've attended one of the Soulful Book Fairs. I was trying to share. And could you just share the name of your book? I am familiar with the site, and it was a great experience. Lots of networking, just to see all of those black authors. It was just amazing. And I did take some young people with me. I had about 6 young men, 6 boys. I have all sons, no daughters, biologically, and so I just took my son and his friends with me. They didn't want to go at first, but they got to meet some people, and they got to eat. Mary Sherratt was there, God rest her soul, and, just a lot of community that I've worked with when I was volunteering in the schools and leading other parent groups in Chicago Public Schools as a parent leader. So name of your books that you've written so we can share. And so that I can get your copy.
The first
are they on Amazon?
No, they're only available on my website, and they're out of print right now.
Okay.
But the first one I wrote was My Body is Talking to Me, and that was about all the things I learned on the journey to heal my body and learn more about health and take charge of my health. So that's what I wrote that one. The second book is about my dad, football and beyond, the book of a legacy and legend of a pioneer football player, because he was a superstar football player in the late 40s and early 50s. And so that was a biography of him and what he did in that field, and then going on to teach at Harlan High School in Chicago to change his career to one of helping young people learn how to play football and learn how to take care of themselves. So he was my mentor all my life. He died in 2019 at the age of 95. So he's the reason I do what I'm doing, which is blog talk show on Friday, Health and Wellbeing with Beata, and then Sunday night, Soul Purpose Healing, which I really try and emphasize the minimalist lifestyle that I live on both shows, you know, eating less and living in less, both of those. And my third book is the e-book, so that's readily available. The other two books are out of print, but my third book is Creating a Tiny House Village, and that's available on my site as well.
Excuse me, Kiana. How you doing? I haven't spoken to you in a while. This is me, Daryl. Kiana, when you say out of print, when are you going to start printing them again?
I have to figure out the least expensive way to print, you know, just enough books to market, because the publishers I had for those two books, they want me to spend a lot of money and print, like, you know, 200 books at a time, and I don't have the money right now to do that.
Well, this is what you do, because what you told me about your father, this is from your experience, and this is something that you did, and then what happened is that your father touched a lot of people's hearts. You're touching a lot of people's hearts, too. A lot of people would be like, wow, that's his daughter. I know your father, and you could put them things out on e-book, you know, and from there, that would be better. Cause e-book, you can reach around the world. We're in our new age of internet right now. You can reach space. You know, if an astronaut wanted to look at your e-book, it's just all electronically. So you can reach every place around the globe now when you do e-books. So don't be afraid to go that route. So it's like I look at this, but the hard copy, that's like a Picasso. So everybody don't use full motion of their fingertips. Everything now is just tap, 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 tap. So a lot of people don't use full range now because of this electronic age. So I love a book because it's like a work of art. It's something that maybe sooner or later, you know, I feel sorry for people when the power grid goes down, because so many people is not into the old style, like hard copies, you know, books. Because everything go dead and everything is in their phone or their tablet. They have no way to get to it. But if you write stuff down, that's good. So a book is really good because it's written down compared to the tablet. But you can reach more people now through having things electronically written, like e-books and stuff like that. But it's always good to have a hard copy in case the power grid goes down.
Mm-hmm. But I agree. The book industry business is changing so much. A lot of young people don't like to read books or the paperback books, those type things, but they will pick up a tablet. And then even my son, who's a millennial, he's 44, he will read books online or in paper. He likes to read both. So you're right, the market for books has changed and shifted, and it's still changing. And I'm going to take, I think I actually have my dad's book available as a PDF. So that wouldn't be too hard to promote it as an ebook. And so I could have the last two books marketing as ebooks. And I just haven't been doing that because I'm so involved in Blog Talk Radio and two grandchildren and that keeps me busy. But, yeah, thank you for that advice, because we want to continue to educate people with our stories. I mean, everybody has a story. That's what my dad used to always say. So everybody should be writing their story, and then it's your business or your responsibility to market it the way you want to the right market and to people who will read and listen and grow from it. That's my idea of
Excuse me, Kiana. Who mostly bought your father's book? Was it athletes or just normal, everyday people?
It's Viata. You keep calling me Kenyatta.
I mean, Viata.
Viata.
Who was?
You know what? I did. When I first published it, I was at a senior citizen. That was my first speaking engagement with my dad's book. I was at a senior citizen facility, and everybody there bought the book. And then I went to a high school and taught for a whole day during Black History Month, and we did it a little. The school library bought 35 of my books to put in the library at the high school, and then I did a teaching with each class, with each period of seniors. I did a teaching about the book. They were given a copy, different copies of the book, and were asked to study and come up with questions for me. And so the market is one of people who like history and sports. I've sold a lot of his books to football fans and just people who knew him as a teacher, who knew him in Chicago. So the market has been wide as far as historical information it brings, as well as the love of sports.
Imagine, now you only hit one state. Imagine if you had the other 49 states, which you can reach out to in e-book. And then imagine now you have the other, you have seven continents. Imagine you can hit every continent. But then what you do, you hit all the people in the NFL, all the people in the NCAA, you know, you hit all the athletes that you know. And not only you hit them all day of the year, then you say, hey, this is a football player during the Black History Month. So you put this electronically, or you have generation wealth for your grandchildren, you know, or you have it like in case an emergency pop up. And this would be something that is always going to be there, you know, after you close your eyes, after your grandkids close their eyes. This is something that's going to stay with the family.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that encouragement and ideas to market it internationally, because I have had buyers who have requested it from his website to buy it in another country. So, yeah, it's just a matter of me spending the time to do that, all that, market it electronically especially. And I recently did a blog talk show about my dad's book and O.J. Simpson, comparing the two styles of the lifestyles of both of these men, which were very different. So I feel the opportunity to share his book on my blog show whenever I can.
Wonderful.
Okay.
So, yeah.
We want to
move forward with the tiny house living and in Chicago, teaching these young people how to build and write their stories. I think this is a great idea, a great lesson that needs to be taught.
Can we have your number for your show?
Yes, I'm on Friday morning, Health and Wellbeing with Seattle. That's 515-605.
Okay, hold on. Slow down. 515, yes.
605.
Yes.
9325.
25. Now, Eastern Time. What time is that Eastern Standard Time?
That's 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. But you can also watch it on YouTube, my YouTube channel. I have a YouTube channel called Viata's Tiny House Village. That's V-I-Y-A-H-T-A-S, Viata's Tiny House Village. I broadcast the Friday show live on Facebook Live under Viata, V-I-Y-A-H-T-A, or on YouTube and Blog Talk Radio live. You call in that number I gave you, 515, and you can call in and listen and talk and give comments and ask questions on the Blog Talk 515 number.
Can you spell your name slowly?
V as in Victor. I.
Yes.
Y as in yellow. A, Apple.
Yes.
H as in Henry. T, Tom. A, Apple. Viata. And Viata's apostrophe S, Tiny House Village on YouTube.
I'm going to say that back to you. V as in Victor. I as in India. Y as in yellow. A as in Apple. H as in Harry. T as in Tom. A as in Apple. And that's it. Is that it?
Yeah, and it's apostrophe S, Tiny House Village for YouTube. And it's just
okay.
Viata. If you're searching for me on Facebook, you can find me under Viata.
Okay. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Well, I'd like to share something really, really interesting, Sister Viata. I am a recent volunteer with the Harlan High School Educational Village Keepers Community PPSA. So, yeah, so your father's alma mater, I've been involved with Harlan High School. I actually did a Spanish workshop for the parents over there some years ago. So great to know the connect.
Yeah, wow, that's
like
awesome.
Is this picture on the wall there?
It should be. It should be. They had a fundraising in his name and his wife's name a couple of years ago. I went to Chicago for a banquet they had in my father. The Harlan alumni did a banquet for him to raise money, and that was really nice. So yeah, he should be on the wall there because they speak about him. And in fact, I worked with a lot of his alumni members to do a documentary, but it hasn't come to fruition yet. But we're working. I got video on some of the alumni and students talking about his career. So
okay. You might know Dr. Carmen Palmer, maybe, right? Dr. Gano? Dr. Carmen Palmer, maybe?
That name sounds familiar because I met a lot of them at the banquet. I met the president, who was the current president at the time. I met him, and I met, you know, so many really beautiful people when I was there, but I don't stay in touch with them anymore.
So Dr. Palmer is the organizer, the founder of the Educational Village Keeper. And so she's an entire Spanish teacher over at Beasley.
Okay, I bet Harlan has really changed.
They had really low enrollment, when I was there last. But I was recently teaching at Urban Prep Academy for young men in Bronzeville. So I wasn't able to be as engaged as I would like to have been. So, yeah. So congratulations to you. And, I like the fact that there are other people out there that adore their fathers, and we actually lift them up. My father was also an inventor, and I'm just really excited to hear that. And just say your dad's name again for me.
Sherman, John Howard. Sherman Howard. Okay. So he was the coach. He was the football coach in the 60s, 70s. He was the football coach and physical education director at Harlan for almost 30 years.
Wow. Awesome. Thanks for sharing.
Really interesting. Because, when he first started there, it was the mostly white students. And he has a lot of stories about their households being more racist, but when they came to his under his teaching, they changed. All that racism went away.
Okay, I can imagine.
And I met so many of his students who were seniors now, and they just raved. They always complimented him and talked about him so well.
Good news. Thank you.
And he's so
okay. Well, now we've sold.
His name is Sherman Howard.
Sherman Howard was his name.
Okay, I got it.
Sherman Howard was his name.
Yeah, you can find him on the internet, and then he's also on my Facebook page, my website, which is yourholisticlifecoach.com. He's on that site as well.
Okay.
All right. So that so we got the for the kids to document their work and then make money from putting their own book. Now to tie it all together, because we start out the podcast on $1 million. We broke it down to a component part of $5,000 within 10 hours, which the kids can make, or you can make yourself. Now, to keep it and to build on it, that's where the legal component can come in. If Warren Houston, if you're still out there, press 1. A not-so-good time to learn about generational wealth is when you're an adult, 20, 30, 50, 60, 70, whatever you might be at adult age. The worst time to find about it, about generational wealth or estate planning, is when somebody passed away. If a kid's 5 years old, that's a good time for them to start learning about generational wealth. So, good morning, Mr. Houston.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Fine, fine. Glad you called in. Warren, what do you think about 5, 10, and 15-year-olds learning about estate planning or just the basics of law?
Well, I mean, I think that's great. As I've always said, and I said in the past, you know, business and law is what rules the world. Business as it relates to money and finances and economics, and law as to how those things are governed. So the earlier, the better. And so that will in itself automatically almost guarantee success for a lot of those. And for the majority of them, it will almost guarantee success. As you know, that's one of the things I promote as far as doing trust, you know, as it relates to passing that wealth to the next generation. A lot of us don't know about trust, and we actually, if we do anything, we get wills, but that's what the rich do. They don't use wills. They don't even know what the term will is, and they actually use their trust, and they estate plan and pass that generational wealth from one generation to the next generation.
Now, what about, because you're an educator when it comes to law education. I know you've taught adults because you used to do something every week, I think on Monday evenings or something like that, with a
yes.
conference call that was well extended. But what about putting something together for, I don't know, where a 5, 10, or even a 15-year-old could relate to it? Parents die of all ages.
Yeah, I mean, that's never a problem. If there's a need for it, those that are interested, that can be easily done. I'm a natural at teaching. I love doing it. But we have to have those that are actually interested in wanting to learn these things to better themselves ahead. So, yeah, that's not a problem. That can always be done at any time.
All right, because like I say, it's one thing to earn the money, but then it's a whole nother animal to keep it. So if, like, for instance, if you take an immigrant-run business in the black community,
mm-hmm.
Asian, Indian, what have you, Latina. It could be a liquor store, dry cleaner, dollar store, whatever it might be. But you know, if a parent passes away or a grandparent passes away, you know, that business keeps on pumping out. You know, whatever they're pumping out on a daily, you know, $5,000 a day, whatever it might be, it keeps on running smoothly because those kids have been prepared younger than 5, actually. So
right.
That's why I think it's one thing to earn it, but it's another thing to keep it because. Just like now, I don't know everything that's happening in Chicago. I know with Chicago politics, or even New York City politics. But I, you know, from the likes of it, like say from Chicago, the city council just passed some type of legislation where the migrants, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not up on it 100%, they're going to get, I don't know, $50 to $70 million worth of aid, whatever. And we're talking about a group of people that culturally, they're merchants, they're entrepreneurs. They're going to take that money.
This is additional money.
And they're
going to
start businesses. What is it, Reba?
This is additional funding. This is additional. This is an addition to what was already administered, yeah. And I read $40 million, but it could have been more, but I know, yeah.
So they're getting money on top of the money that they've already received.
Yeah, yes. Welcome, Brother Houston.
Okay. Well, some of them are going to be, I hate to get stereotypical, but I'm going to get stereotypical. Let's say Bruce Lee's Egg Roll Shop. Okay, so Bruce Lee's Egg Roll Shop that is run by Korean, this is a mythical place now, okay, that sells Egg Foo Young. They got about 300 items on the menu. Egg Foo Young, shrimp fried rice, orange chicken, my favorite is sesame chicken, you know, they got all kinds of stuff on it. So, and they might take in $5,000 a day. Okay, so they already have plans to take the money that they're going to get and open up another Bruce Lee's egg roll shop somewhere in Chicago or New York City. Take your pick. All right. Now, they have the parents and the grandparents have already, let's see, let's pick a 10 years old, 10, 12 years old. They have already given 12 years, 10 to 12 years worth of business lessons because the Bruce Lee's Egg Roll Shop is set up as an LLC, and the LLC is owned by the Bruce Lee Egg Roll Family Trust.
Mm-hmm.
So, Warren, could you basically break down, A, what a trust is, and what a family trust is, and how it is important to have a family trust?
You know, unfortunately, none of us are here to stay. We're only passing through. So eventually we all have a date with death, or we all are going to come to a point where we no longer exist. But as families do that, you know, care about their family, and basically that's a whole other topic if you want to talk about family, because family is a business. We've been so bombarded with Hollywood with all this romantic stuff, in which is that's fine. It has its place in it. But more so, a marriage and a family is a business to develop resources. But at any rate, a trust, what happens with a trust, a living trust, is it avoids probate court. And this is why the rich use it. Because if they write a will, as some of us do, we can send a will. A will is a public document. And because it is a public document, it means that at your death or the time you decease, it is on public record. Not only is it on public record, if you die owing any creditors or at the time of your death, when your estate is probated, regardless of what you have in your will, regardless as to who you have stated you want what, your creditors will be satisfied first. Then if the terms of your will can be met, then they'll be met. If they can't, then it's like, oh, well. And on top of that, your will can be contested by anyone in the family or friends or anyone who's associated with you and feel like they have a right. I often tell people about a case that I had several years back in my class. I had a young man. He was the baby of five siblings, and he's sitting listening to me talk about wills and trusts for the longest, never made a move. Well, his mother passed away. After his mother passed away, in her will, as she stated, she had a home that was in the value of about $500,000. Well, she gave it to her baby son. It was clearly stated what she, in the will, what she wanted to do with it. Well, the other four siblings got together, contested it, and decided, well, we don't want him to have it. We want the property sold and the money split. And he come to me for help, but there's nothing you can do once that person is deceased. So the four siblings prevailed, and the judge ruled in their favor to have that house sold and the profit split, the money split five ways. So this is another powerful thing that has to do with a trust. A trust, number one, is a private document. It does not go through probate court. You have an executor of that trust, and whoever that executor is will administer the trust at your death. And so, you know, it cannot be contested because it does not go to probate court. So your wishes comes out as to how you put them in, and then basically the state courts have certain rules and regulations as to even how you disperse your property, and you're not under those rules and regulations as well. So that is one of the great things about having a trust and being able to pass that wealth on to the next generation. You avoid a lot of fees, a lot of court costs, you know, where you look at Prince. Prince is a good example, along with a few other celebrities. Prince died without a will, trust, anything. And that case, when was it, 2016 Prince died? And I think they
just... You sound like that, and he had $350 million. $350 million.
And they
It was up there. You're right.
They just settled that case like, what, last year, 2023, from 16?
I haven't followed it.
The state of Minnesota walked off with almost $200 million of that man's money. So
that's crazy, man.
That's
60% of the estate.
Yeah. Well, you look at all the, they look at all that time, them years, and attorney fees and court costs and CPAs and all that. They walked off with almost $200 million of Prince's estate that could have went to his family had he had this stuff in a trust. All that could have been avoided. They got a dime.
Now, why doesn't they manage it? Why doesn't they business advisor advise them to have a trust? Why do all these trainers, all these people who have that type of wealth, why are they not advised to set up trust or things that would be in their favor? After,
well, I can't speak for all celebrities, but I know Prince's situation. He had a bad experience with an attorney early on, and because of his bad experience with an attorney, he didn't like them. And so he kind of, you know, didn't deal with them for as much as he didn't have to. So that was his reason, but it still didn't play out good in the end.
Well, but you know, Warren, now, in the black community, on at least in my mind, on a critical mass basis, not all, but too many in my book. Like with the family of Martin Luther King, now we're talking about everybody in MLK Jr.'s family, him, his wife, all of his four children are college graduates. Most have graduate degrees. All right, now Yolanda, she passed away first, Dexter passed away, I think, earlier this year, but Dexter, MLK the third, and what the youngest one, Bernice, they took each other to court five times over the estate. Because MLK and Coretta Scott, you know, King, you know, their lane was, I don't know what it is in too many black, in the black community in the United States, I don't know what it is. But for some reason, there is an abyss of the lack of information. We can't see, I shouldn't say we. Some people can't see past this Friday.
That's right.
You know, it's interesting. I have two attorneys, the one who was supposedly representing my mother, my late mother's estate, and Brother Warren, you might remember when I was facing foreclosure, my home that I bought from my mother's estate, ultimately I ended up going into foreclosure because I ended up with a predatory mortgage. My mother had a 100% assumable mortgage. But it's crazy how when some siblings don't even want the property, they just want the money, but then they don't want to sell it to the one who wants it or the two, you know, let, you know. So the thing is, I could see if more than one person wants the house and it's okay, we all want the house, we don't want to live together, and so just sell it and we split the money, do something else. However, you have siblings that will fight and spend money, but I'll tell you what these attorneys did. So the one attorney that was so-called representing my mother's estate, he didn't represent my best interest because my siblings lived out of state. They weren't here taking care of my mother. And so everybody's like, oh, you got sentimental value. Why don't you just sell it? What do we talk about all the time, Brother LA? Don't sell the golden, the goose that laid the golden egg. Because, first of all, I was
Don't kill the goose. Yeah.
Don't kill the goose. Okay.
Yeah, don't kill the goose that lays the golden egg. When, if you
sell
mama's
house.
Right. Yeah, don't sell mama's house. Don't sell grandpa's house or Viata's tiny house. Don't sell Viata's tiny house, because when you sell that ancestral house, you kill the goose that lays the golden eggs for that family. And that's what happens on a wholesale basis in the United States.
Well, I walked up to the attorney that I hired to represent me because I was making money. You know, I was making good money. The thing is, I needed to have someone represent me because my two siblings, who did not want the house, didn't want to come and help me take care of my mom, this, that, and the other. My mom told me, she said, I wanted you to have the house, but your brother talked me out of doing the will. Well, my dad, who my mom, they had been divorced for years, but I remember him talking about a trust. He said that years ago. And so it just didn't come to me because I was under stress, couldn't even think straight. So now I'm walking up to the court room because my attorney was there, so I didn't need to be present, but it was good that I'm present. So I'm, I don't know, maybe I had a doctor's appointment, whatever it was, I'm coming, and they were just letting out of the session. Wow. So I hear these two attorneys, because I'm walking up, they didn't see me. You know, I'm trying not to say the name. The attorney for my mother's estate was, like, really tall. He was somewhat facing where I was walking up, but I guess he didn't recognize me because he was, no, we hadn't been to probate, I mean, to the closing yet because I got the house. But my attorney that I hired said, what are we dealing with, a bunch of nitwits? Because I was getting ready to ask what happened, but, you know, we were talking, I was trying to be, you know, tactful and not so rude, but I wanted to get a chance. But before I could open up my mouth and say, how did it go to my attorney, he's talking to the attorney that was representing my siblings, and he says, what are we dealing with, a bunch of nitwits? And I tapped him on the shoulder. I said, attorney blank blank, you know his name, I'm not going to say his name on the air. I said, you're my attorney. So in other words, his face turned so red. You know why, of course. You're my attorney. So now you're literally saying that you're representing me, misrepresentation, because I have a law background as well. But sometimes you do need advocacy. It depends. It's pretty much, a lot of times it's hard because you want to rid of any biases and so forth. And Brother Warren, you know what I'm alluding to. But he ended up withdrawing from the case, and I still got the house because I really just needed to get time to, the judge allowed me time to get a pre-qual, which is a pre-qualification for the listeners. So I needed to pre-qualify to purchase a house. I was making good money already anyway. And it was just really crazy because what they were doing is wasting money. My siblings regretted it later. They were like, yeah, you know, we're glad you got the house. Just because keep in mind, what a lot of people do, they fight about is the lack of quality time with the person who transitioned. So you're fighting over stuff, but it's really not the stuff. It's the fact that you did not really have a healthy relationship with the person who transitioned because the stuff wouldn't really matter. The reason I fought is because I had three children, and I made a lot of sacrifices to be there. So keep in mind, I could have been – well, I had already started, you know, working on my credit because I wanted to buy the family house that my siblings and I spent a lot of time. We went to school from there. So, yeah, it's just really interesting how people – they look at us. These attorneys, and they were both non-black. I'm just saying, they look at us like we're idiots. He clearly said, what are we dealing with, a bunch of nitwits? And I said, you're my attorney. So now he felt insulted because I had enough intellect to say, hey, you're my attorney. So, you know, you're not ill-advising me, of course, I would guess. But he ended up withdrawing from the case. But I was able to go ahead and go in. Oh, I ended up with another attorney who was African-American woman, very excellent attorney, attorney Deidre Wood Stokes, out of Chicago area. So it was awesome, because they didn't want the house. And once again, my mother had a 100% assumable mortgage. So up until we had gone through the courts and all of this, any other, I was paying, my siblings had me to agree to pay the mortgage. Well, really, that wasn't my responsibility because we all owned the house, right? So literally, even to this day, they owe me some money. Because I'm paying a mortgage on a house that we split, right? So, but they, and unfortunately, they still, they wanted like, I think $33,000 a piece. They ended up with $23,500. Because guess what? Now you, I ended up refinancing. So, or like taking out a second mortgage, I found out later, and then Wells Fargo was connected. But really, you know, I, that's a book right there. I'm going to have to write the book. So thanks for sharing, Brother Warren. That was a good point. You know, we don't tend to think about the money we're wasting in court fighting, and you could actually just come to a resolve where everybody mm-hmm. wins.
Yeah.
But don't fight in court. It does not make sense.
Now, living trust is the way to go.
All right. Well, and that comes full circle. Now, tomorrow we'll be on part nine, because then we'll break down what we talked about here today into simple component parts on what, and we, you know, like I said, we're going to work on this math problem number two, which just involves $5,000. Okay, because I said once you master $5,000, you know, all you need to do is just keep on repeating it 200 times, and you'll get what you need to get. We have any closing comments for today before we don't, because you know what blogs are, we don't want to get kicked out. So anything to wrap up?
Yeah.
Okay, she probably still.
Like the telethon that we did. Can you hear me, Brother L.A.? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, yeah, we
did.
Yeah.
So we did up for an organization, United Black American Projects Association. We had the youth, my idea, and they screwed it up, really. I will just be honest with you. And I said the name. I said we need to actually allow the young people to go online live, because at that time, Brother L.A., you and I were looking at that thing that they do in China where they make like $1 million in a day. Well, what they did was they had a members-only Zoom. I was paying for Zoom. They paid someone else to do the Zoom. And it was just really, really interesting how people move around you and move around your ideas, and then they screw it up. So guess what? The children were only able to sell the products to us, the members of the organization. It didn't make sense. That didn't make sense. It defeated the purpose of doing the Zoom. So some made money. One young person didn't get any sales. So, of course, you know, some of us support it just by just donating some money, but that was not what it was supposed to be. They wanted to make it exclusive. So we certainly can take advantage of the Internet and do the lives and stuff like that, and I do all of my events that way as well. So I'm not going to give it all in one batch, you know, like Brother, is it Darnell? What's your name?
Daryl.
I apologize. Just give a little bit at a time, because people will say that they want something. You give them all in one nutshell, they may not necessarily appreciate it. And then I'm learning how to consider the prices. I think people they devalue what I give, because I don't charge like escalated prices for like my workshops, you know, my courses. So yeah, so I'm excited. Thank you so much for listening, you guys. Thank you for speaking, Sister Viata, Brother Warren. Attorney Warren, and Daryl, thank you so much. And Brother L.A., as always, great show.
Okay, all right. We did part eight today. Tomorrow we'll be back for part nine for our next step. Everyone have a good rest of the day.